Please stand for the reading of Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of the peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if the peace is not there, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near you.' Whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me, and whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all of the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that our names are written in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks to be with God.
Be seated this morning. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation, for being with us this morning. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Help me out with this. I need your help this morning. Just we'll go back and forth. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Every time I hear that phrase, every time I repeat that phrase, I'm taken back to my childhood, back to my home church, where a missionary had stopped in one Sunday. I remember him, but forgive me for not being able to call his name. I remember him saying it over and over and over again. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The missionary was not just raising funding for his mission, his ministry, but was trying to instill in each of us in the congregation the idea that God is calling us to be missionaries too, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As a child, I can remember thinking that this must have meant a trip to remote places, dark jungles, exotic islands, for the purpose of harvesting for Jesus, whatever that meant. I grew up on the coast. We didn't harvest much except for shrimp. But that same missionary told us that we probably weren't being sent to those dark, scary, and exotic places, maybe not even to do something as scary as lead a church. But most likely, we were being sent back to the places that we go every single day. Back to our homes, back to our schools, back to the places that we are truly from. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Don't miss this. God has been working throughout our community, throughout our schools, throughout your office to bring people back into a relationship with him. God is at work today. God has been pouring out his prevenient grace in the lives of people young and old, drawing them, wooing them back into a relationship with himself, into a saving relationship with him, getting them ready for that moment when they finally discover God's grace for themselves. Y'all, this is all God's work. In the language of the text you heard read today, it's God who's doing the plowing, and it's God who's doing the planting, and it's God who's doing the fertilizing, and it's God who's tending to the crop of people who would come after him. But he sends you and he sends me to be the harvesters. He sends you and I out into the fields to help others meet him. People like you and I are being sent every single day to gather people up, to bring people in, to harvest them for the kingdom of God, and your part matters. I don't know that they're getting it, choir. Your part matters. And your part matters. Your part in this absolutely matters. Why, you might be asking? I'll tell you why. Actually, we'll let St. Teresa of Avila tell us why. She says this. She says, Christ has no body on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out into the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others. Now, your part in the mission of God matters, because the mission of God is alive in you and through you. That's why Paul will say to the Colossians that it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory, because the only way the world will know Jesus is through you. Now, you might be thinking, that's great, Jonathan. I don't know if I'm up to that task. You might be thinking to yourself, I'm not qualified. I don't have the training. I mean, I went to Sunday school twice and I didn't like it. And so I might not go back, but there's an online thing I'm going to try. I don't have the education to go and do that sort of thing. And besides that, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? You've got to imagine that all those questions are running through the minds of those 72 other followers of Jesus. Not the disciples who've been journeying with Jesus for 3 years, mind you. These are the others. This isn't 60 followers plus the 12. These are 72 people who've just been following Jesus and the disciples through Galilee and towards Jerusalem now. These 72 are being sent out like lambs among wolves. You've got to imagine. You've got to imagine that they had some questions about their commissioning. Since they weren't allowed to bring a purse or a change of clothes or an extra set of sandals while they're sent out on this mission of harvesting and gathering people up. Instead, they're sent out to rely on the generosity, the peace, the shalom of others to care for them while they're on their way, while they're doing the mission that Jesus has sent them on. They are to be vulnerable and to rely on others to care for them. Why would Jesus do this to his followers? Again, we're not talking about the 12 here. We're talking about the 72 others who are totally unqualified for this kind of task. I mean, the 12 are barely qualified. And there's been no Jesus equipping conference. And there's been no Jesus school of ministry, no missions weekend where followers learn strategies for preparing the way for Jesus to go into a town. There's been no Jesus discipleship internship program. These are just ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and me who are following Jesus and doing their best to make him known. But it doesn't seem like Jesus is setting them up for success. These followers turned missionaries are to depend on the people of peace wherever they go. In what feels very counterintuitive, especially here in America, Jesus tells his disciples to allow themselves to be needy, to carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Jesus, why are you doing this? Why are you sending these people out to do ministry in your name without training and without proper equipment? I think it has to do with this, and I'm borrowing this from Justo Gonzalez, who is one of my professors at Columbia Theological Seminary. He says this. He says, the Christian message is not just that Jesus conquers all powers of evil and oppression. And Jesus does conquer all powers of evil and oppression in this world. But also that as lambs sent into the world by the Lamb of God, Christians have the mission and the power to gain victory over evil and oppression. In other words, not only are these 72 sent out on the same mission as Jesus, but the same power that is in Jesus is in them. They're vessels for the power of God. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power to teach and to heal and to preach and to work miracles. The same power that's in them is in Jesus. And we forget that we are also a people who are sent by Jesus on the same mission and with the same power. We forget that we are vessels of the power of God, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we too have the power to heal and to teach and to preach and to work miracles. Not only that, but Jesus delights when that power is unleashed in our lives and in our communities and in our world. And that's just what we see when these 72 unequipped, unqualified missionaries of Jesus see whenever they come back to him. They're sent out and they go, and the places that they go and the people that they meet, they bring healing, they cure the disease, they cast out demons, they work miracles just like Jesus. And Jesus delights in this. Jesus is excited by this. Look at verse 17 with me. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. I mean, they're pumped up. They're excited because they have seen God move with power in their lives and in their communities and out in the world. They've seen the lame walk and the blind see and the sick healed. They've seen demons cast out in Jesus' name. And Jesus is excited too. We missed it. And we often do miss it with the scriptures. Jesus replies, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Guys, you did it. You were sent out in my name and with my power, and you shook the very gates of hell. You did it. And Jesus goes on and says, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. But then Jesus says this. He says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus says to his disciples, it's great that you did miraculous and powerful things in my name. I delight in that. That is incredible. I love that. But don't begin to think that power and authority are the reward for following after me. Don't think that power and authority are the mission. Don't get so focused on the power that you miss the point. Remember, the reward isn't the miracles that you perform. It's the miracle of salvation. So rejoice and celebrate, not because of the power that you found in Jesus, but because of the salvation that you've experienced because of him. Jesus would say to those 72 and to us, rejoice and celebrate and share that salvation that you've experienced with the people around you. Because in doing so, you make the power of God and the peace of God and the hope of God and the justice of God and the joy of God real for the people around you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so the question remains for us today. Will you go? I know you're not well equipped. I know you probably don't have all the answers to your questions solved yet. But I do know that Jesus calls unqualified people like you and me to carry his gospel and his grace and his truth and his life out into the world so that the whole world might know his redemption and his life. So will you? as unqualified as you may be, go in Jesus' name and in Jesus' power to carry on his mission to this world. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Would you pray with me? God, you are the center of all life, and you call us into a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's your same Son that sends us out into the world to be a part of inaugurating your kingdom, bringing it to bear on the places we go every day. Remind us, God, that we don't need special qualifications to be your missionaries. That we don't have to go to places that are far flung, but instead can go back to our homes and back to our jobs and back to our ball fields and back to all the places we go day after day to share the hope and the life that you shared with us. Help us to not become infatuated with power and authority, Lord, but instead to celebrate the salvation that you've bought through us, for us, through your life, death, and resurrection. Help us to share that blessing with the world. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.